Hello, and welcome to the Global Product Management Talk Lean Definition Series. This is Cindy F. Solomon, delighted to be with you again for our episode 22. Mm-hmm. I'm here talking with Malcolm Knapp of the Engineering Accelerator, and we have a special guest today, Hubert Plun of Product Board, the CEO, founder of a product management software.
That's right. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're delighted. So you can hear more episodes at startupproduct.com as well as at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. And I'm happy to be here with Malcolm.
Yeah, so my name is Malcolm Knapp, and I run the Engineer Accelerator. It's a professional training program for hardware engineers where we get into the meta skills and the process skills you need to know to be effective in a professional setting.
Excellent, and that's available at engineeraccelerator.com?
Yes, and also on Facebook at Engineer Accelerator.
Cool. Hubert.
Hi, I'm Hubert, as Cindy mentioned. Product Board is a software tool for product managers, and the reason why we started working on Product Board is that we realized that we just hate wasting time on making things that nobody needs, and that our lives are too short, and that only if we understand real well the needs of our customers, if we understand what they're trying to get done, only then we can create excellent products. And we also realized that there are way too many teams that are working not as teams, really, that people are just being asked, hey, this is a set of stuff, whether features or products that you should deliver, and no one talks about who is it for, what needs it solves, why it matters in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. And so the we believe at Product Board that we all should be working on things that matter to others, and we should do it together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just happen to be building this software that kind of brings everyone together and helps collect feedback from customers and even the team. We kind of, you know, we look at teams as organizations. Mm-hmm. And we should combine senses because we all have eyes and ears, mm-hmm. bring it all together, and then that empowers the product team to maybe decide what to work on and then align everyone and lead forward towards delivering an excellent product.
Excellent.
So that's a short
thing. Excellent. Okay. We're totally aligned in collaborating across functions. And mm-hmm. I will say I really appreciate you because you've been a early supporter of Startup Product and in the initiatives that we've been involved in. So I appreciate that.
Cool. So what we'll do is we'll get started. And so what basically I have is just some questions, and we'll sort of see where that goes with the discussion. So the first question is the same for everybody. Is do you agree with the idea that in hindsight or when you do a release or when sort of at a product, you can sort of think of the sort of information that you need to sort of build a product and make it and get it to work, that's a finite amount of information?
You're asking me whether the
yes.
information is finite, or
yeah.
it keeps evolving.
Think of a product like a phone or a release of a software product or something
yeah.
like that. It's a finite amount of information that makes the product, that represents all the stuff you need to know to make the product.
Well, it's finite at every point in time,
yeah.
but it evolves,
yeah.
right?
So it can change. So that's true. But the thing is that it is not it's finite. It's the key thing.
At some point when you're launching.
Yes.
Well, when you're launching, so I get what you're asking, but
yeah.
I think that the key to realize is that your understanding of the problem and what
yeah.
you're really trying to get to done with the product changes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
at every point
yes.
in time, that's a fixed knowledge, right? Okay, this is what you know, and
mm-hmm.
if you take what you know, if you take what you understand about the problem, and you
yeah.
go to figure out a solution, okay, that's and it's a one version.
Yeah.
But then tomorrow you hear something, you try something, you hear a feedback, you know, and it changes, and it's like you realize that maybe it was wrong, or it could be better, or it doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
So
and I agree with that completely as well. But the idea is that it's not that it's not an impossible thing to sort of there is a bound between what's in the product and what's sort of outside the product.
Oh yeah.
So now within this sort of space, this sort of multidimensional, not 3D, but I like to think about it as space.
Yeah.
You can sort of think about that, that represents all that information. Is there a sort of hierarchy to the information, as in certain parts of the, certain things are dependent on others, you know?
Like, so are you asking specifically about the product, or are you asking about the whole space?
This is about the...
The product that you're going to deliver and charge money for.
So this is the key thing. We're just talking about any product. You know, this is not specifically about your product, but any product.
Well, I like your space analogy, and the way I think about it is also a multidimensional space, and I see kind of three key dimensions, and, you know, there's more, it depends how you group them, but the three key dimensions for me are the hierarchy, and one is the hierarchy of the segments of the people, and how people are similar and dissimilar, and you can create a hierarchy and kind of segment people to groups, right, and some are more homogeneous than others, and so on, and if you really want to go, like, theoretically, the individuals would be the kind of leaves in the hierarchy, so that's one hierarchy. But then even the individuals, the second dimensions, are the problems that these people have and needs and desires that they want to satisfy. Mm-hmm. And you can again create a map and you can again group it. And then the product is the third one, because the solution and how you group it together and which features and which products will solve which needs for which segments... Then that's the product hierarchy is a different hierarchy, right?
And that's what we're framing. We're framing the phase, that level three of the product specifically.
Well, I think that, but that's also the thing is that that's the whole, you know,
the whole experience of the product.
That could be made.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now you have to choose one of those.
Yeah.
And within that one, so that was sort of that we're zoomed down to choosing one. Now within the making, that what we should define that we sort of validated as a need, there's a market that there, and that we should build something. So now you're in.
That's the harder part, though.
Yeah, yes. That's fine. But you have to choose what questions you want to get at, right? And this process gets at you now are getting ready to actually build something. So this is sort of the first thing we sort of do. Mm-hmm. And so, but within the product, we talked about that product, whichever one you're going to make, there's a space. Now within that space, for me, it's like, I'm coming from hardware. So the sort of voltage you choose for your hardware rails is higher in the hierarchy than which individual resistor you choose, So do you agree with that sort of type of that hierarchy?
So it's a big part, and then you break it down into smaller parts, right? So that's one hierarchy. And then, of course, you can replace these parts because... Yeah, you can have different solutions. Mm-hmm. But the hierarchy can also change completely, right? Yeah. Because there are dependencies, and one solution is a completely different structure and different hierarchy than another.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the key thing you're doing a software product. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of the bridge. And so the question is, for you in doing the product you're making or the sort of your experience, what is at the highest level of this hierarchy with it, this sort of informational hierarchy that represents the sort of the product?
Well, we really structured the product around the needs of our customers. This is the guiding principle. Mm-hmm. So our product, the main navigation in the product, right? Speaking completely about the product, actually reflects the key needs that the product managers get done during the whole job of product manager. So we start with research, and then there's organizing the ideas into a hierarchy, which you actually have a hierarchy. Yeah. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then only once you understand and once you link the research to the hierarchy, then you can do some kind of prioritization, and you define objectives and initiatives. And so we have these as kind of separate boards, product board and boards. But and that's the organizing principle. And of course, these needs, like these jobs or the key goals, that are represented in the interface, different roles, different segments of users, different personas have different needs for these, right?
So that's true. Now, what's interesting about this is that that's a true thing about. So there's the inner user interface. We've talked to some other software engineers, and what they say is actually the user interface changes so much that it's actually low in the hierarchy. The user interface changes so much.
Yeah.
So specifically where the buttons are, and if you have the board, you have these board set up and stuff like that. For them, they say that's low down in the hierarchy. So as opposed to high up. So I guess so because it can change so much. I mean, you've been changing your interface all the time, right? I mean, this is the question. I don't know.
No. Yes.
But there's something there that is higher in the hierarchy. So what is the thing that is, you know, the thing that you're capturing there that drives the sort of the code in the end? Every single line of code ends up there for a reason, right?
Yeah. So totally. The interface is it's not like fixed, right? Like so it reflects the needs. But for us, really, the way we think about this is that we have segments of customers, and we have segments of customers. I'm not talking about segments like demographics, geographics. We have segments of, if I'm talking about a product manager, I'm thinking about, well, is the product manager that is research driven and that is interested in collaborating with others on, on understanding the problems? Is it someone who is working on business to business or business to customer consumers product? Because it changes the needs of this particular product manager. Is it a small team or is it a big team?
But the functionality of the product doesn't change. You're describing how the various users would use the product differently.
Well, right. So what I'm saying is that now I understand this segment and I understand what is most important for them. Right? What are the most important tasks, needs that they need to get done? And this is what's framing my product. And then I go and I say, well, okay, so now we have this important task. How am I going to solve it? What feature? Is it going to be, because it's an important task, so it should be very, in the interface, it should be high, like information architecture. And then I go, and then I reshuffle it. Later on, I realize, well, we thought it was so important, but then after testing all that, it wasn't. So maybe it shouldn't be in the main hierarchy. It should be somewhere else because it's not as important.
So I think that may be the key thing, is that there's an informational hierarchy. Informational architecture in your brain that the user interface reflects or in some form.
Yes. Yes.
And so the high level object is not the user interface, but this informational architecture. So what is in that?
It's like the mental model for us is we are talking about needs, or you can talk about jobs to be done or the problem space, because that's for us is, so we actually, inside Product Board, how we run Product Board, we have a hierarchy. And the hierarchy is that Product Board is a product. It solves these needs. It helps people do research. It helps them organize and kind of structure the solution ideas that they have. Then it helps them with prioritization. Then it helps them with communication with everyone else, like what you're considering and so on. And within these, like, and we really have nodes in the hierarchy. And then within these you go and then it's like, okay, now we need to get research in. How do we do that? Well, either you bring, type down notes from customer interviews, or you can get insights from customer feedback support tickets, or you can do surveys, or you can do da 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 da. That's a list, right?
Great. Go on.
No. I wanted to say that. So this is really the in my mind, and you know we're kind of a clash of mental models here, right? Because you guys are thinking about it a little differently, which, by the way, that's one of the biggest challenges, that when people get together, everyone has a different mental model, and how do you get that
exactly
aligned, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, Indy Young talks about this anyway. and so my point is that this is the problem space, and then we try to map that, and then we map the features, the solutions to that.
So you map the problem, the problem space to a set of features, basically, right?
Yes.
And the thing is, you have this. Like you said, a hierarchy, an organization of that. And
we actually spend, as a team, spend significant amount of time aligning ourselves on what the hierarchy looks like.
And that's exactly, that's the thing that this process is all about, is that before you can really build something in code, you have to know what you're making, and this is sort of what you've done this, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
You said, do we agree that this is this architecture is accurately reflecting what our customers will actually be wanting to do.
Yes.
And so...
Yes, and so the interesting thing about it is that, you know, I don't know what your experience is like, but when you're going through the early stages, you know, people, like, if you create a, for example, mind map, and you go and you create a mind map, it's very common that the mind map is for you, and it's very complicated for anyone else to kind of get into it. It's like, hey, here's my mind map. Well, and you were not part of it. You didn't create. You were not part of creating the mental model. You were not part of that way of structuring whatever the space is.
And
so we've been through many, many iterations with that. And then, you know, right now, because we are already more mature as a company, we have alignment around how we see the space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might still change, right? And,
yeah.
And that's the challenge, because then you reshuffle it and then you need to scrap everything and, you know, redo. And then, you know, you end up doing, even yourself, right? You do a mind map and then you do another version, and then a week later you do another, and you keep changing it because your understanding changes, and therefore the way you structure it and organize
it. But
the
key thing is that you have a reflection of that's in sort of physical, like it's sort of documentation, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That reflects what your mind map or your mental image about what the product is, reflects back to you and reflects back to the team, correct?
Yes, that's right.
So this is the thing. This is sort of what we're sort of getting at. So we have this hierarchy, we have this sort of thing, and so when you're first starting out, you have these questions about what is the most highest in the hierarchy, and for me, it doesn't matter, it's really specific to the project. I mean, sometimes the really, really low level stuff, or sort of really sort of like in hardware, you have a specific chip you have to use. So therefore, it's high, and that chip is very high in the hierarchy. We have to use it, so it's gonna, and then everything has to sort of work with that. Whereas in a lot of other cases, the specific component you use doesn't matter, or you don't have to know it right away. You know you need a display, but you don't need
would
this.
Would that translate
one.
Into a particular code or programming language
you have to
use.
Yeah, so for example, there's libraries, encryption libraries, for example, maybe, as a good example, where you have to use some specific library, and then that means that is, I call that high in the hierarchy, so because everything else is dependent on it.
Because if your engineers know a particular language or...
Mm.
Yeah, I understand
that.
And
it's not the only thing, but it's just that any project will have this sort of layer that everything else is dependent on.
So
those are the highest constraints.
Yes,
exactly. Constraint is the right word. But in my mental model,
yes.
I actually don't consider the constraints in this mental model of the needs.
Mm.
I abstract from that, and I say, look, this is what people need to get done,
right?
And it's a complex tree, and you know it's it might not be like hierarchical, right? And like, how do you reconcile emotional and functional needs? And they're not like underneath and so on, right?
Yeah.
But like somehow you simplify it into the hierarchical structure, and then I go and I take this problem space, needs space mental model, and then I go and I say, okay, what can I solve?
Yeah.
Given the constraints, and I think about that on the product, on the solution side separately, and I say, okay, this need I don't know how to solve. Like, it would be great to have a teleport, but you know, we'll never figure it out,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So I'm not gonna do that.
So that's a design thinking approach.
It is a design thinking approach,
and that would happen not. There's not a conflict. Like, that's a thinking that needs to happen, but this process comes after or
it's
maybe
that,
parallel
it's
to
that.
That.
It's that, basically, like you said, you map over these needs to something you can build.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So that's the key thing about this process is
what can we build?
What are we going to build? You know. And so the way I sort of think about this is that, so then you have this, so this is the highest level sort of stuff. And for me, it sort of breaks down with sort of into two major categories.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of what the product sort of is, which is, you know, the sort of things that sort of don't really change, like the sort of, you know, databases in the back end, or like, you know, the sort of the features of the product, and what it does, which is sort of the stuff that sort of does change over time, like, you know, if you press this button, what happens, you know. And so this way of thinking about it is you can sort of start breaking things down into those sort of ways of the sort of that sort of way of thinking about the product, sort of with that first sort of category. Does that sort of make sense to you?
Yeah, it
because this is, again, what you're going to actually build, right? So this is, you know, I know you really like working at, you know, what are the needs, sort of discovering the needs of the people you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to build something eventually, right?
Yeah.
And so the question, so that's where we're focusing.
Yeah,
on.
So the way I go and the way I select what I'm going to build is then I look at the intensity of the need, of the need or pain or desire.
Yes, but eventually you have to actually build it. So
right. But I look at how important it is
in order to prioritize
this,
right?
Given the, you know, who it's important for, because it's a, if it's a super small segment and I'm never going to build a viable business around that, then it's probably not good use of my time because it doesn't matter to people really, or like, you know, the impact is limited. And so I consider that, that the importance. And then I go and I think about, well, how can I satisfy? Can I satisfy?
Right.
Is it feasible? How long is it going to take me? Do I have the skills?
But
and at that point,
yeah.
Once you answered the product management questions around resources and scope, we're talking about how do you articulate what it is that's going to be built in a 360 view so everyone on the team understands the same tangible characteristics.
So eventually you have to write some code eventually. I mean, this is not even before that, but like you have to map over this this need into something that you can build, right?
Yeah.
So what is the starting point for that?
Well, so the discussion. So for example, right, we said we identified that it's very important for product managers to understand that this is kind of a meta level, so
it's
a little complex, but to, for product managers to understand the needs of people and to get insights directly from the customers and also non-customers and organize it in some way and look for patterns, because that then helps you understand the segmentation, and then you can have this whole prioritization discussion. And so we sat down and said, okay, what are the solutions, how this can be solved, right? And we said, okay, well, let's go from low tech and how it's done currently in the world. How do people solve this now? He said, well, people solve it with stickies. They put like stickies on the board. That's a solution, right? And then different ways how to do it. And then we said, well, other people use Evernote and they just like have notes and they somehow organize them, or most likely actually don't organize them. And it's just, you know, a big pile of input. Or other people are more structured and they go and they create a spreadsheet and they copy paste insights and they try to count who said what, and then they have some descriptors of the people and all that, right? Some other people try to do that in some CRM system and so on. We went through this process and he said, well, how can we solve it in our product? And we came up with a bunch of different ways how to do this.
For example,
To have, like, we said, okay, so should we just have something like Google Docs where we would have, like, an interface, like a database of all the insights?
Okay, so one of the things that it is that the database in the product.
Well, right, so eventually we said, well, we need a central repository where we can organize these insights and where we can, though, categorize them. And then we can say, this is noise and this is insight.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do in the world, where you just like hear something and you put just the important thing on the sticky note. So we kind of, you know, look for the analogy.
So then what you have then is you have one of your sort of the feature is you have a central repository.
Exactly.
And then one of the things you do with that is you can then put data into it and you can then analyze the results somehow, filter out, do filtering. So filtering is one of the things that the product does.
Yeah.
So you start, and you can keep on going through.
Yeah, because we understood that part of the need is that people need to be able to find something that they already categorize initially, or if they don't know what they're looking for, they need to be able to like search through keywords topics, right?
Search,
so again, the needs are driving the features.
Perfectly fine. But again, what we're focused on in this process is capturing that list of features.
So in the hierarchy that we have this like, get research into our central repository. That's actually a node in our hierarchy. And then underneath, we brainstormed all the different potential features, potential solution alternatives, alternatives how to get it done. And then we look at them and we are evaluating, well, how well it solves the need, right? Like how complicated it is to build. Do we have the skills? Do we have the resources? Are there any constraints? Do we have the technology and all that? Like, you could say, well, ideally, you just press a button and machine learning and natural language processing does everything and it tells you what to do, right? But we're not there yet. So, of course, you know, that's an idea.
Well, but, and so the thing is that, so the, but the key thing that I'm getting at is that you can sort of start building up this sort of, this list of, you know, features, and I call features for things that don't, sort of, the sort of are what the product does, mm-hmm. and behaviors are what it, or so, sorry, features are what it is, and behaviors are what it does.
Okay.
So that's how I break it down. And so what that basically does is it then maps over into how you represent that information to get this reflection. And you're doing something slightly different than me, you know, like this big tree. I would sort of love to see the tree.
Well, I should too.
Is a slightly different thing, but it also sort of, it's sort of because of the ways it's a very formal selection process about what would end up going into the documentation for the lean definition process. Because eventually you choose one of those things to do. You know, it becomes a sort of block or sort of
Yeah, but it's kind of it's an organic process because, you know, some of the insights, ideas that you're hearing, you just throw it somewhere on the, not necessarily all the way on the feature level. You put it somewhere like higher up because you actually don't know yet how to solve it. You just hear, oh, it would be great if it did this for me, but you're talking about the need, you're not talking about the solution, right?
Well,
and I don't know, so I just throw it, like, you know, research. Yeah. Like, people say something on research, and it's like, oh, this is interesting, but we don't know how to solve it. I'll just throw it very high up on the hierarchy. And then later on, I'm going to go and I'm going to see, what is it that we have here? It seems like people are talking about this topic of, you know, organizing research better or, you know, communicating something better or...
Well, what's also interesting is because of the product you have, it's that there's sort of all the inputs and all the app, they sort of are pretty, they're not really tightly coupled with each other. Because you can take any stream, like you said, sticky notes or text, or there's all these sort of separate streams that go in, and then you process them somehow and you put outputs out. And so adding in a different stream or a different sort of thing is sort of, it's not going to affect the other streams in the same sort of way. Does that make...
I'm not sure what you're calling streams.
Well, it's sort of like you said you have data going into the system somehow, you know.
Yeah.
And so you have a flow of information, you know.
Yeah.
And it could be that people... And I don't know, people can write text, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you have text notes, and you have a repository for those notes, right? And so that is sort of one stream of information going in, you know. That's sort of what I'm getting at.
Okay.
You can have multiple different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So, that's sort of an interesting thing for me because coming from the hardware background, all the parts are really tightly coupled together, you know.
But we actually have hardware customers.
Yeah.
So they are designing chips.
Mm-hmm.
And they are designing chips around needs, and they need to understand the segments and the needs of the... different segments, and then they go and they figure out, well, okay, how do I put together the circuits? Like, what parts am I going to reuse? Like, you know, all the logic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all structured around what is it that ultimately the final product, being a chip, should be doing, right? What should be the features?
So
but they need to
what,
be satisfying.
What you're basically doing is you're making a very clear connection between a need and the feature that meets that need.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that that's great, and I think that, and so now the question for me, I guess, is you have this need and the feature that meets that need. Now, what do you do about looking at all the features and how they interact with each other?
Mm-hmm.
So you have this sort of, you know, line, you know, and so again, it's sort of, it's in some ways, it's sort of like user stories as much as I understand them, is you take a user story represents a need.
Yeah.
And then you implement the code that sort of, you know, fulfills that story.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of think about that as sort of a vertical slice through the sort of the product, basically. Sort of, you know, going from highest sort of this sort of need to code, like line of code. Now the question, I guess, for me is in your way of thinking about this. How do you look at the interaction between all the different features with each other, and, you know, how do you sort of balance those things? Because sometimes they conflict with each other.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's two things, right? So some of the features can be like complementary.
Mm-hmm.
They all contribute to the
mm-hmm.
the need, to the
mm-hmm.
the goal that you're trying to satisfy. but then some of the features are smaller and some are bigger, and some of the bigger ones you need to break down. And so you would have like a bigger feature, and just because it's complex, you need to break it down into multiple user stories, right? Or that's like what the topics, epics, stories, tasks. That's the reason is the hierarchy. Just because you have something complex that you need to break down, but it's really just to get organized and not to forget things and make sure that you know all the if there are any dependencies that you get it right. But there are still like you're kind of considering against each other, right? Like feature A versus feature B, they both will satisfy the need in a different way, and then so we're deciding between those, and then. Because if some are bigger, we need to also look at like what does it entail, and if the complexity is big, and we have another one that's simpler, like we would go with the simpler one, right?
And so I guess that's what the one thing for me is. So you have this hierarchy, and you have this mapping between need and feature that meets that need, basically. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing for me about this is, part of what I was doing was I was dealing with multiple. Sort of teams a lot of times, or sort of multiple different domains, maybe a better way to put it. So there's like, I was dealing with physical stuff, so mechanical design and, software and hardware, electronics and then the sort of other sort of industrial design, sort of stuff like that. And so what was interesting about this is that you then can go to each different sort of person and sort of ask them what they need, what they want to have in the thing. And you start seeing where the sort of disconnects or the sort of overlaps between the different domains are, and the sort of conflicts between. And so then you can see where there's a conflict there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other part about this is that you sort of go through this process. You sort of start breaking these things down, and then you want to get a sort of complete picture of what the product is as much as you know at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of reveals what you don't know and what you sort of can go further and look at. And so, does that happen in your product as well? Or is that sort of, does that resonate with what you sort of deal with? Or,
Yeah, I just, one thing that, I noticed is when you said that you go and you ask multiple people what they need, right? And then it's very important not to, because different people will tell you different, and let's say that they translate the needs to the features, right? And they tell you different features. Mm-hmm. And what you want to avoid, that you build this, like that you count what's most common, and you build kind of the least common denominator.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying that the thing is that what you can do is in this situation, the person going around is the product manager and has these different sort of domains that they have to interface with, but they hold the vision of the product. That's their job. And so it's not about, this is about being a good product manager versus being not a good one.
And part of what we're dealing with is each of those different domain experts have a different language, have a different perspective, have a different viewpoint, and a different focus on what they think is important or what they even care about. And they don't necessarily care about anything else that doesn't interface with what their job is. And so what we're trying to do here is provide a communication process to have everyone on the same page. A lot, you are actually doing what we're trying to teach how to do.
I think that, the product manager is kind of like the guardian of the product, right? And it's like, okay, so he, she should understand all the inputs and possible solution alternatives. Like, not the product manager is, of course, not necessarily the person who's coming up with the solutions, but he should understand what are the possibilities, right? But then, since you guys are talking about how to communicate, I think that very important thing is, how do you effectively explain to everyone else on the team what this mental model is, so that they can contribute to the learnings? Because,
yes.
That's...
That's it. You captured it. Thank you.
So because that's the thing, right? Like, if we all have tremendous brain power, and if we don't understand the problems and the needs, and if we don't understand this kind of vision and direction that we're going, we can contribute both with listening and with coming up with ideas. And so if you're taking a shower in the morning and, you know, if you understand the problem that's in front of us, like, you can think about it and you can come up with something, and then you show up to work, it's like, hey, I have this idea. But if you, solution idea, but if you don't understand the problem, then you can. So like when I talked with this trainer from Intercom about this, you know, we said like, hey, we have these jobs that represent the problems on the wall for everyone to see, and all the different pieces of information, all the learnings, because then everyone can pass by and they see what are the areas that we don't know how to solve yet. And then people can actively participate, and hell, I saw this, you know, and I saw this other solution in a completely different field of endeavor, and maybe we could apply similar concept here.
Yeah.
Or like support people, if they just respond to support tickets and they don't know what the problems are that you're trying to solve, right? Like, of course, they have their, you know, narrow vision of what they're exposed from the subset of customers that they're communicating with. But they need the larger perspective, because then they can contribute. Like, imagine if the support or success person is like, hey, these are the areas that we're interested in. If you hear anything around these topics, let us know. Tell us that these are the people that we could go and dig deeper into, right?
Yeah. So
and the same, sales and marketing, it's all the same.
And often tech support, they know the pain points of the product even more than the people who are contributing to the product, because they're dealing with the users.
Because you said it's product managers going around, and I think that product managers absolutely should be going around the customers, like, no doubt about it, right? And non-customers. But they should also be going around the whole organization.
Yes.
And telling
this
everyone.
This is what I teach.
Exactly.
It's different than a product owner.
Exactly,
it's just handling
exactly.
the backlog.
And like, explain.
It's strategic.
Yeah.
So
and get everyone in the organization on board with this.
Yes.
And then supercharge the senses. And then kind of like suck in everything that the organization as a whole is hearing, experiencing, seeing.
And that's kind of the lean definition process
is to
enable
that.
Yes.
Right. It's basically.
Right.
It's, you know.
So it's not, the onus isn't on the product manager being annoying and going around to everyone, but we're actually all engaged in this process
together.
That's
why Steve Blank says get out of the building. Everyone, like, and the founders, if they are not product managers, like, you know, you can just hire someone and do this for
you.
It doesn't work.
So, I mean, that's the sort of thing, is that so then, you know, what we end up with is you start breaking this sort of down, and what we're trying to do is get a representation of what the product that we're building is, that is, you know, lightweight and easy to work with, because there's this classic sort of thing that people can't, like, you can't, you know, when people say code is self-documenting, well, that's technically true, but you can't go through the code and figure out what it's doing, because it could be millions of lines long, you know. And so what you want, though, is you want to know what it's, you know, what is its function, you know, what's the functionality that this code is supposed to implement, you know. And that's something you can capture in, like, a pretty simple, I do block diagrams all the time, because they capture a lot of information very efficiently. So what we end up with is that you go through this process, and you're sort of doing this sort of interview, and you're seeing where the unknowns are. Like, there's certain questions that come up, and you're like, well, we just don't have an answer for that yet. And that's very important. I mean, that's what the showstoppers lie in, those unknown unknowns that you don't even, you know, you just weren't aware of at all. Like, you didn't know, they weren't even on the list. And so you have to bring those to the surface as soon as possible. And so that's what this process is trying to do, is trying to get this picture. And, like, it's not a slice. It's like a horizontal slice as opposed to a vertical slice. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I sort of have been separating it from the sort of user story stuff, which is quite effective and very good, but it doesn't give you this sort of architectural level or sort of this sort of view of the whole thing at once, you know, and how the different pieces interact with each other. Because if you have a designer or an industrial designer, will have specific ideas about how they want to make the look and feel of the product, and if that can actually impact how you build the back end, you know. For example, and you want to capture that, because otherwise it can cause major problems going on. I mean, there was this one problem where they had an industrial designer come in with and do a surface of a CAD model, and they made it. It looked great, and then when they gave it to the mechanical engineers, that was in a sort of combined sort of consulting company, it turned out the model they made was basically impossible to actually make a model out of, like something you could inject the injection mold. Mm. And they had to spend hours redoing the whole model to get it to actually be that point. And so, and that's the sort of, that's a slightly lower level down in the informational hierarchy, but it represents the same thing.
Yeah.
Is that you're trying to capture these, you know, sort of reveal the unknowns and also reveal the conflicts between the different domains, because they're going to happen, and you want to resolve them as soon as possible. And you, and the whole point is to get buy-in, you have to resolve them. You have to get some agreement within the team. If you don't have it, then you can go on for a long, long time, but you eventually the projects diverge and they fail because they weren't, people weren't actually making the same thing. Does that sort of get it?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, so did you figure out a way how to communicate it or how to describe it, how to share this?
So I have this sort of set of documentation that represents the various aspects of a product. I mean, this is part of the thing, is that you want to, what people would do is they write down this bulleted list, and it would get some of it, but it wouldn't be complete. And so the question is, and this is something I'm interested in getting, sort of seeing if there's other ways of doing this, but it's basically, you know, because there could be, you know, other ways of doing it. But the way I break it down to you right now is to get the various different aspects is you break it down into a flow diagram, which is basically a block diagram, but it captures the flows of power, information, you know, material, you know, sort of water, whatever you want, the flows of things, and so that sort of behavior, and also what it flows through, the blocks that happen. And each of those blocks is sort of like a feature, basically. You know, we've had issues with naming things, so I will say feature, in the way I understand it, in the hardware domain. So you do that, and then each of those features, each of those blocks, has a sort of characteristics associated with them, that sort of, the things they have to be, that sort of they have to do, or like the important information about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you organize that into a sort of hierarchical list, going from the sort of whole product level, and then each feature has just the important stuff, you know, that needs to be in there. And it could be anything. Like, it's not, it's just like you can write it down, and it's just, but it's all organized in a hierarchical list that's expandable and contractible, and then the third part is about capturing the sort of the behaviors, another aspect of behaviors is, which is like, you know, sort of basically states and events, sort of state machine sort of type idea, you know, that's a very powerful model for capturing many, many sort of lots of behavior, sort of systems act in that way, so sort of representing it that way. And then also just sequences, which is what, which is like pseudocode effectively, you know, sort of sequences with logic. And then the final part is that sort of you look at the interfaces and stuff like that, but which is sort of a, to make sure that those don't get dropped. And so what you end up with is, you know, yes, that sounds a little complicated, but it's the, each part has a lot of descriptive power, and sort of the density of information in each part is very high. And it also is, you may be making something really complicated, like that's part of the thing to get in your head around, is how actually, if you have a list that's 20 pages long of features, that's really important to know, because then you want to cut it down. I mean, when I was doing this process before, it'd be like you go into a project and it would grow by a third immediately, because that's what you really had to make, and you thought it was smaller, and you budgeted and you scoped for that. When I started doing this process and getting the full list, my project would drop by a third in the amount that had to get done. And so, you know, and that's the thing, that this representation is designed to be as lightweight as possible. And I'm like, if you have any other things that are really great ways of capturing this really the highest level in the hierarchy, let me know. Like, I would love to hear about this, because
you're going to have to use his tool.
But and maybe, but it's just sort of like, the thing is that that's the question I'm trying to answer, and this is the question, this sort of my answer so far, is trying to get a system, a set of documentation and a process that captures all the aspects of a product so you can see the whole thing, this 360 view that you're talking about. Yeah.
And so I consider it, you deal with the why, and certainly the user experience, the product managers, we have to justify why are we doing this.
Mm-hmm.
What the lean definition is, it lives in what.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? Not even how we're doing it, but pulling out the mental maps that everyone's holding and trying to create a visualization that everyone can see. So then all the conflicts that come later on, we're going to get them all up front. Mm. It's not going to ever be a static. Mm. It's going to be an ongoing, living, growing thing. Mm. But at one point in time, we can say, this is all our agreed understanding of what it is that we're going to spend resources to build.
Mm. And then once things do change, then you have something to change against. One of the biggest things about this is when feature creep happens, if you don't have that first thing, then you can't argue against, well, we shouldn't do this new feature because it'll add much more, because you just don't have that first agreement, you know, and the first thing, this is what we're building. And so that's what we're getting. That's what we're sort of interested in. And, you know, so...
Well... I don't know, and so in the software world, the resulting product is something that you can see, and you have set of interfaces. It's that's how it is. Of course, like there's logic behind it, right?
But
I always try to put it let's put all the ideas in front of us and let's look at them so that everyone has some visual. Like we are very visual people, right? Mm. Like I understand that as engineers. I'm a computer science engineer by background as well. Like we go for abstraction and we try to capture all that, but that's not how all people think.
Right.
And then so to the others, you need to explain it by as the actual result and what it's gonna do and how they're gonna experience it over how you describe the function.
But the thing for me is this is a document or this is for the internal team. This is not about talking to customers, that's they're talking to people outside the team.
It's not even the narrative of the product that you would tell external users. Mm-hmm. It's the coded internal, like the secret code for the different versioning.
Yeah. So it's basically
my only worry is that if it's like, how do you assure that people don't envision different solutions if it's very easy to be too abstract, right? Or it works, like people come up immediately.
We're visualizing
one of the skills that we have, and that's part of the thing you have to learn is what is the right level of detail to get to. What is the thing that is, if you're going too abstract, I agree, it's like you could put anything you want in a block, but that's one of the jobs of the product manager is to get to sort of break things down enough so it's well-defined.
And including the team, so it's defined in the languages that the culture or the different organizations already are using.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're not enforcing, you now have to use our language. What we're doing is uncovering what is the language currently being used. Mm-hmm. How do we expand it across the different organizations?
So you said you had a central repository. Mm-hmm. Is that how it refers to it in your company? As this, the database or whatever is it called?
We call it like research inbox or
you have a name for it, right?
Yeah,
that you all understand what that means, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that's one of the other big things about this is just getting the same names for things. It means that your communication is a lot more efficient, and you also are talking about the same things.
And then it's easier to onboard new people
So the thing is that I'm coming from the hardware side, and software is there's differences. There's the iteration time is so quick and sort of stuff like that. So, some things like the user interface side you have to fix really early on in hardware, but you don't in software. So it just means it pushes that part down. You can say, we know what types of information we want to represent, but we're not going to say it has to be this color LED, for example. Mm-hmm. So there are differences, and so that's the sort of thing. I guess the question, as we sort of come down to it, is: does this seem like it could be useful, or does this sort of resonate in what you're experiencing with? And does this capture something?
Yes, I'm trying to envision like how it looks like based on what you guys are describing to me. Right now, one thing, so you're basically saying that you are, is it almost like that the hierarchy is, or like what are the riskiest parts?
So,
and then there's something that is just like...
Well, so, no, it's basically saying, we're at one level of the hierarchy. So in terms of what you're trying to say is what captures what we're making, that will go down to the next level and actually do the architecture and the actual low-level coding or figure out the actual schematic of the...
But you said something that there are some key decisions that determine the rest and that matter more than the others.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is this level of decisions.
Mm.
And risk is one of those things. I mean, you can decide not to do something.
It's more like a decision
but,
tree almost,
well, but
right?
it's, the
so
thing
it's
is
like
that you're not... what you're doing is, you're not necessarily, that's the process as opposed to the result. So you don't end up with a decision tree of all the stuff like that. You go through and you talk about the risk and all the other things you do, and you end up with one, the documentation you end up with represents the agreed upon solution.
Mm.
So I think we're like,
yeah.
this is always a fun. No.
So the moment you decide you're gonna build something, of course you need to have a common understanding and you need to document it.
Mm.
I don't think that you can just have documentation. I think that you always have to have a discussion.
Yes.
That's the process part of this.
Right. So that's great. So you need to have that, and you need to realize that it's going to change and understand
mm-hmm.
it, and it's
yes.
more expensive, and you know the cycles are longer and harder. But and then you know lean, you just keep iterating on it, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
so we're trying to frame a process to that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a specific onboarding process
mm-hmm.
of how you get to that point, rather than it being chaotic
mm-hmm.
For someone who perhaps is new to doing it or in a new organization. Or it's a very complex
mm-hmm.
product.
Mm-hmm.
So we have come to the end of our time.
We definitely have.
And certainly there's a lot more to talk about. So I'd like to invite you to come back. And also we'd love to explore specifically with Product Board how the lean definition is totally aligned with using Product Board.
Check it out. We're very happy to talk with people, and we are actively listening and learning, right? That's how we are organized as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take all the feedback in, we incorporate it, and we change it. So if you just want to talk and share your thoughts on how this should be done, I'd be more than happy to
great
to
sure
engage.
Excellent.
This is fun. This
so
is fun.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We've been talking with
thank you for having
Hubert
me.
Pilon of productboard.com, which is a software tool for managing the product management. I'm Cindy F. Solomon, and we've been here with Malcolm Knapp.
Yeah.
Please join us again. We appreciate your feedback and your commentary. And we will see you next weekend online.